She's feisty, she's funny, and she tells it like it is. Get ready for Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide. What are your opportunities right now? What are the possibilities? Ask Corby and cross the bridge from fear to fearlessness and fly. Here's your host, Corby Mitlide.
Hello there, and I hope that you were smart enough to leave the fireworks to the experts last night, kids. It is July 5th, and we were up very late. The fireworks kept going and going, and I ended up getting up at 3 in the morning. So if I sound a little fuzzier than usual, blame it on our independence. What can I tell you? Tonight is open mic night, which means who knows what's going to happen. I will be pontificating about whatever comes into my fuzzy little noggin. If people call in with readings, terrific. If people call in because they want to make comments, fabulous. If any of my fellow intuitives want to call in and wave their little paws and say, hello, we're here too, do it, baby. The thing that I'm going to open up with tonight is there has been so much religious hoorah. Okay, we don't talk a lot about religion on this show because my view is as long as you know that there's somebody up there who loves you, wants the best for you, and is willing to work with you, I don't care if you believe in Ralph the Wonder Dog or the jar of peanut butter. I just don't. But there is a book that I really love that I want to recommend you might pick up, and it's by His Holiness the Dalai Lama. It's called Toward a True Kinship of Faiths, How the World's Religions Can Come Together. You see, religion has always been a divider, not a uniter, in my view. My wonderful late father that you've heard me talk about used to mutter tantum malorum. Tantum malorum was short for tantum religio potuit suadere malorum. Such evil is done in the name of religion. Yeah, that's the kind of household I grew up in. And he would always mutter this when he'd be reading about the Middle Eastern conflict between Arabs and Jews. I was brought up in the Jewish faith and part of the only Jewish family surrounded by a Roman Catholic neighborhood. And I was the victim of anti-Semitic taunts by the local kids for years. It's one of the reasons I turned toward a more non-denominational view of spirituality in my 20s and 30s, still wanting to connect with the eternal, but not have my worldview stunted. I've changed from that narrow outlook over the years. It's not religion that's the problem, I've discovered, but it's interpretation. The narrow understanding threatens the very survival of humanity. Extremists of all persuasions have access to powerful technologies, and a single spark could ignite a powder keg of frightening proportions. The difficulty is this: fundamentalism, extremism, parochialism have all taken over in huge numbers of mainstream religions to the point where you can only stare at the heavens and say, what were you thinking when you invented all these different roads to you? Now, the Dalai Lama in Toward a True Kinship of Faith looks toward many religions, Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, compassionately and with honor. And he makes a study of their similarities, because no person today is untouched by what happens in the rest of the world. And the Dalai Lama understands that the essential task of humanity is to cultivate peaceful coexistence. He shows us how the challenges of globalization can move us in another direction, to a deeper plane where nations and cultures and individuals can connect through their shared human nature, the things that we all want, the things we all do, the things that bind us together. All the major religions confront the same questions over and over and over again. It's just how they figure them out and their form of expression that distinguishes them. But the way the Dalai Lama looks at it is it gives you the potential for inspiring the dialogue the two people talking that can enrich everybody's pursuit of wisdom. Now, the Dalai Lama starts out explaining his own very narrow views, the ones that he felt and he held when he fled Tibet as a young man in the late 1950s. And one by one, over the years, he began dialogues with other religious leaders, and eventually he formed a core belief that it's the similarities, the things that each religion has together with the other ones, that creates the validation for all of them. Now, that isn't to say that they're all the same underneath, okay? Because those religions who believe in a God, Christianity, Judaism, can't be the same as those who don't believe a single point of Godhead exists, like Buddhism. But the religions share a common ethics based on shared humanity and a practice of compassion. You're always going to hear that word out of me, and the development of selflessness. Now, a person can follow a chosen spiritual path based on background and experiences and culture and be committed to it. But at the same time, you can respect and understand that other people from different backgrounds and with underlying preferences that may not be yours, they're going to make different choices. The Dalai Lama recognizes it's a tough path to tread. The one where you're committed to your own religion and your own traditions and tenets, but respecting and being open to others' commitments to their own. That's one of the toughest roads to hoe. I used to say, if you don't say I'm wrong, I would say you're right too, because that's the whole thing. The Dalai Lama believes that if we can build this bridge, religion can then, instead of being a divider, be something that can bridge misunderstandings and promote peace in the world. I loved the fact that the Dalai Lama didn't stop with standard religions, but also looks at those who are metaphysically or spiritually, but not religiously based, as well as those who believe in God, the big stuff, the things where they've got a postcard stamp every year and they have holidays. So Toward a True Kinship of Faith explores where differences between religions can be genuinely appreciated without serving as sources of conflict. A little hope, a little realism, and a real key to how we humans are going to have to step into the future if we want a future at all. So that's what The Raven is reading at the moment, and that's one that I would recommend for you. From here on in, let's just take your calls. And remember, open mic night is about anything you want to discuss. You got a question in your own life, you need a reading. You wanted a past life reading this time, you didn't get one last time, you want to fill in, or you just want to make a comment. That's what this show is all about. It gets very lonely. I mean, I adore Bri. The Bri guy is my engineer now that Captain Bob has gone to greener pastures with more signal boost. And it's fun talking with him ahead of time, but guys, you're the one who makes the show. I don't want to be the WikiWoo version of Rush Limbaugh spewing my stuff all over the airwaves like I have the only opinion in the world, because I don't. That's where you come in. So some of the things that we've covered, we always get career questions. We can look at relationships, either you got one or you are looking for Mr. or Ms. Right. Yes, people look at finances, especially today. We can look a little at health. Just remember that I tend not to do dead people on the air, because the way I do mediumship, whatever comes out of my mouth is what they want to say, and I don't censor, because when I do mediumship, I kind of go away. I'm off on a tangent somewhere. So they may come out with something that shouldn't go on the air. They may come out with something very personal. And while I love being able to do that for you when we have a session, that is something that should be personal, just you and me, one-on-one. If you're curious about what I'm doing when I'm not on the air, you can always go to firethroughspirit.com. That's T-H-R-O-U-G-H, the way it was spelled in third grade. There's a calendar there that you can always check that will show you where I am. You'll also see whatever specials I'm doing. You'll also see a little note up there that says sign up for the newsletter. That's really the best way to keep in touch with me because it goes out about 8 times a year. And there will be specials on there. There'll be things that only my newsletter people get to have or hear about. You know, it's fun. It doesn't bug you very much. I can't stand people who send you an email every single day. That's not what you have time for. It's not what I have time to do. Trust me. The calendar is also important. For instance, this weekend I'm going to be up in Lake George, New York. This is a brand new show. It's going to be at the Georgian Lakeside Retreat. And I'm going to have several people up there that we've had on the show. Barbie Hathaway, the wonderful crystal and stone worker, is going to be there. The absolutely fabulous Coriel Kramer is also going to be up there with me. Gordon Sport, that gorgeously accented Scot who does numerology from Canada, is also going to be joining us. So that's where you can find me if you've heard me. And a lot of you have, and I'm so pleased about it. You go look for me. You say, you know, I'd love to have a reading with you, and I don't want it to be on the air. Do you do private readings? Of course I do, guys. This is my full-time job. 14 hours a day, 6 days a week. I am at my desk or on my phone working for you. So absolutely come find me in person. Or if you live in Des Moines or Scottsdale, and it's a little far, a walk, you can get me at 877-321-CORBY, and we'll set up whatever it is that you need. So I think that we are starting to get the calls. Thank you very much. 248-809-3475. They've changed the number on us, so that's 248-809-3475. And I'm getting a mysterious Skype message from the Bri guy. Skype is a wonderful thing, but it takes so long to write the messages on the little chat board. I'm waiting for a drum roll. Remember how long it takes on Duets or American Idol or America's Got Talent? And they say, the person going off this week is, and everyone is staring and you're looking at the camera and you're saying, what is wrong that you're not just spinning it out here? So it's a little bit like that. Let's go to the Ask Corby column. The Ask Corby column is something that I have on my website that I always like to go to because there are some questions that are universal. I get them all the time. For instance, am I making up my spirit guides? That's one that I get all the time. So let's take a look at that. All right. The person writes to me and says, I'm a spiritual seeker trying to understand myself. I've been regularly meditating for years. Some years ago, when I was sitting in front of a big church in London, suddenly someone was telling me from inside myself, I am your spirit guide. It's a well-known person. It was hard to believe, but I was very excited by the message. Over the last few years, this type of information came to me many times from the inside of me. And last time I said, are you my only spirit guide? And the answer was, you have a total of 5 spirit guides, including me. I also hear from my guardian angels, but never have seen them. I typically don't hear any voice outside of me. So my question to you is, am I making it up? Is my mind fooling me or are all these real? Is my mind fooling me or are all these real? And isn't that the $64,000 question? The answer is it could be either one. First, here's how I understand angels and spirit guides. Okay? All angels are spirit guides, but not all spirit guides are angels. So you can have both. Our guardian angels are with us from birth to death. They don't change. But spirit guides are like our teachers. We don't have the same ones from kindergarten through PhD courses because our needs change in terms of learning, complexity of the lessons, and the life direction. So too do our spirit guides change as we grow spiritually. They can come in a lot of guises, human or animal or angelic or ET or other, elf or fairy or elemental, or even simply energy signatures. In my own life, the original spirit guides who came in when my abilities broke open in 1994 were gentlemen with whom I was very close two incarnations ago. We were pilots together. We had trusted each other with our lives in a very dangerous war, and it made sense that those I trusted then would help me through a tough beginner's learning curve this time. These guides have, if you will, stepped aside now. They remain as friends, and I still have contact with them on a very comforting level, but my main teacher now is my personal angel. My late father is also a spirit guide of sorts when it comes to assisting folks with medical challenges. Dad was a terrific and incisive internist cardiologist, beloved by all his patients. So he's actually having a good time sticking with his former profession. One who came in more recently was a respected Arapaho chief in the late 19th century. Now, how did I know I really had these people? Generally, they give me information I could not have known myself. At the time of his contacting me, I knew virtually nothing about the Arapaho people and their history. Everything this guide told me about himself was on target and verifiable, as were the reasons he chose to come to me at that time. My father uses medical terminology that I wouldn't know and asks questions through me of my clients that I wouldn't know to ask. So in these cases, I trust that I was making a true connection. Conversely, for these same reasons, I would urge caution if you believe you're getting someone like Princess Diana or Angelina Jolie or Elvis as a spirit guide. These figures are too well known, too much in people's consciousness now, and in a great sense, too much in people's fantasy lives for you to be able to trust what you're getting. If the spirit guide said it was a famous person who is contemporary in any way, or someone you're a fan of, living or dead, I would say it is highly unlikely that they're contacting you. It's not an instantaneous thing. And with angels and guides, it may not be historical personages. It's much harder to verify that they're real and benevolent in their contacts with you. It's vital in the beginning that you question what you get. Look for the logic behind what you hear and keep detailed notes. What happens when you listen to what your guides say? What happens if you ignore the advice? Were they right? There are some very specific things, however, that a spirit guide or angel will not do. If you hear these kinds of things from that little voice in your head, put it on the do not use shelf because it's not a guide or an angel. It chastises you in a sharp or mean fashion, putting you down. It pumps up your ego at the expense of someone else. It tries to guilt you into doing something. It encourages you to do something that is illegal, immoral, harmful, or against your highest good, something your gut knows is wrong or not in your best interests. If you get anything like that, it's your ego talking to you and not anyone outside you. Ignore it. If you want to get some concrete training, I highly recommend Opening to Channel by Sanaya Raman and Dwayne Packer. It's the book I used when I was first learning, and it's a great grounding source. And always keep a journal of your communications. It will not only be a learning tool, but a treasure trove of your spiritual growth in the years to come. Now, I believe we have a call coming in from the wonderful Belle Salisbury from North Carolina. Belle is a fellow intuitive and the instigator, founder, genius behind the wonderful Belle Esprit magazine that I am writing my past life column for. Belle, my darling, are you there?
Can you hear me?
There we go. Hey, girl, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How about you?
Terrific. Listen, I'd love for you to talk a little bit about Belle Esprit from the founder's point of view and also about this wonderful new project that we have going that we've been talking about.
Yeah. Well, you know, my idea for the magazine Belle Esprit was because I felt as though it was necessary, especially at this time, that the knowledge be made available. There are, you know, so many people seeking guidance and they're seeking answers. And I wanted to come up with an avenue where people could freely receive and learn about the topics that they were interested in. and even some people who didn't know they had an interest in a topic. If they come across it in a magazine, they may find that something is said that resonates with them. And so I just wanted a place where knowledge could be freely given.
Now, what I know this is what you wanted, but this is a huge undertaking, and it's literally hundreds of pages. How did you get it together in the first place?
It's so funny at best. When I first decided on the name, and that took a couple of months to come across, because Bel Esprit is actually French for beautiful spirit. And for 2 months, I kept getting the name Bel, and I kept arguing with spirit and stating, no, I don't want my name in it. I don't want this to be ego-based. And so they continued with Bel, and then it became Bel something. And finally, they just decided I was being too dense, and they said, beautiful spirit. Bel is beautiful. And I'm like, oh. So, of course, I thought beautiful spirit. And I did my own searches, and, of course, that name had already been taken. And So I realized where the Bel was coming in, and it was the French meaning for beautiful. So I went with the French meaning of spirit and came up with the name Bel Esprit. Then I created a Facebook fan page without telling anybody about it. I created this fan page just to get my thoughts together as to what the magazine was going to be about. And the next morning I get up and I went to the fan page to do a little bit more work, and we had 75 likes. I didn't know where they came from.
If that isn't the universe saying, go, baby, go, I don't know what is.
Yeah. And then from there, you know, there were a select few who I contacted because I knew that they would be exceptional writers and experts in their field. And so I contacted a few people that I wanted to see if they had an interest in being a part of the magazine. And then from that point, it just seemed like every day there were 3 and 4 and 5 people messaging me saying, oh, what do I need to do to write for this magazine? So it literally led just, you know, dozens and dozens of people to the magazine as columnists, as writers. And to date, we have 49 columnists.
Now, does everybody write every month?
Pretty much everybody submits every month. There are a few that have missed a month or two. Sometimes it's due to personal reasons, and other times it's vacation because, you know, we're in the summer now. But pretty much everybody turns in something every month.
Now, is there anybody who is doing something unusual? I mean, you know, I do past lives. There are other people who do astrology, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody who does something that you know is really not out there in a standard spirituality magazine?
Well, the columnist that we just brought on board, Sherita Starr, is a lexigramist. And when I heard that word, I'm like, a who? And when she explained it to me, it just made so much sense. It's a completely new and different technique of taking a person's name and using lexigramy and creating messages found within your name. And she's in this column, she's going to be helping us learn how to follow lexigram techniques. And in fact, I had her on my show last night, and she used my name as an example. And from my given name on my birth certificate, it actually, you know, I guess you call it lexigrammed out to be a seer and a person who was highly spiritual and a person who was reliable. And it was just all these things that were resonating with exactly what I do today as a psychic medium. And so it was kind of interesting. So I'm myself looking forward to learning from her in the magazine.
Well, Sherita is one of our very, very favorite guests here. So you're preaching to the choir on that one. We're going to go to break in just a minute. But, Bel, I'm going to say hold on through the break because I want to talk more about Bel Esprit and a little bit about you and the kind of stuff that people can find for free online. So this is Corby Mittlide. We're doing Empower Readings. It's open mic night. On the other side, we'll be back taking your calls at 248-809-3475.
This heavyweight bout is about to begin. The challenger wears white trunks with a blue stripe, and the champ is wearing, looks like an examination gown from the doctor's office. And from the back, we can... Ooh, that's not pretty. Champ, what's with the crazy getup?
I've got to take care of my family.
Yeah, so?
Well, when you love your family, you got to go in and get those important medical screenings. A lot of potentially deadly diseases can be treated if you catch them in time.
So you wear the examination gown because...
Because I'm a real man. Real men take care of their families and get those tests. Real men wear gowns.
Okay, champ. Good luck. Here we go. The champ's not wasting any time. It's over. This fight is over. Champ, you barely broke a sweat. Any words for your fans out there?
Remember, go to AHRQ.gov for a list of the tests they need to get and when to get them.
What was that web address again?
AHRQ.gov. And remember, real men wear gowns.
Go to AHRQ.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AHRQ, and the Ad Council.
We've been angry.
We've been hurt.
We've been lonely.
We've been pressured.
We've been ashamed.
We've been miserable.
We've been hopeless.
We've been lost.
We've been labeled.
We've been invisible.
We've been controlled.
We've been judged.
We've been angry.
We've been hurt.
We've been lonely.
We've been pressured.
We've been ashamed.
We've been miserable.
We've been hopeless.
We've been lost.
We've been labeled.
We've been invisible.
We've been controlled.
We've been judged.
If you're one of the more than 26 million teens living in the U.S. today, chances are you'll go through your share of tough times. Let's face it, being a teen isn't easy. We know because we've been there.
We've been accepted.
We've been supported.
We've been confident.
We've been brave. Check out reachout.com to hear teens share their own stories on how they've made it through tough times. You might even find ways to deal with all you're dealing with. Because we've been there, we can help each other.
We've been inspired.
We've been determined.
We've been acknowledged.
We've been given a chance.
We've been there.
We've been there.
We can help us.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Inspire USA Foundation,
have
and the Ad
Council.
Have
you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? I'm Andrew Hoffman. I invented the Lost Cat Magnet. Just turn it on and Lost Cat stick to it. Just listen to one satisfied cat. That's proof. You should invent stuff too. But remember, don't do a Lost Cat Magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide. It's open mic night, and we have the magnificent Belle Salisbury with us. Belle, let's get back to the magazine. We were talking a little bit about Sherita Starr, who is one of your new people, and as I said, she's one of our favorites. I think the best thing that she ever did, I mean, yes, she did Corby and all of that stuff, but she did a lexigram for my big Maine Coon, who thinks he rules the world, Oswald the Great. He's the one that has the Facebook page. Yep. And one of the things that she lexigrammed was, "Oswald, let the large ego go." And when I realized that came out of Oswald the Great, I said, "This is a genius, just a genius."
It's incredible. And I think that it'll be inspiring for a lot of folks as they continue to learn from her. Her column that she does with the lexigram is... called Word Ponder. And mm-hmm. So I think it is going to be an incredibly interesting column for folks. And she does our lunar scopes, which is a kind of like a horoscope for the new moon and the full moon.
Those are so important. People don't realize mm-hmm. that if our body is made up of water and the moon affects the tides, of course the moon's going to affect us as well. Pay attention to it. It's as simple as that. Now, so we have the lexigramming and we have the lunar scope mm-hmm. and we've got my past lives. And what other columns are in there?
We have a lot of folks who we have different categories, health and healing. We have Lavonda Young, who talks a lot about the various herbs and how they can be used for medicinal uses. And we have Val Silver, who writes Holistic Wellness by Design. Donna Cantone does Spiritual Feng Shui. You know, it's important we feng shui our home and our environment, but we can also feng shui self.
Now, how do you do that? Because that's not one I've run into. Does that mean that I have to, in one section of my forehead, paint it black, and the other one I have to paint it yellow? I mean, I'm going to look a little dumb walking down the street.
You know, a lot of that is, you know, with feng shui, one of the main concepts of feng shui is if you haven't used it or needed it in a year, then you need to get rid of it. And so it basically helps us to work with feng shuiing our baggage, things that are no longer necessary for us. And it helps us on a spiritual level to look at areas and things that need to be changed, rearranged. So it's basically on the spiritual self with, you know, if you can apply those same feng shui concepts.
Okay, that's something I'm going to go look up.
Yeah.
Let's see. Do we have things on auras? Do we have things on chakras? Do we have things on angels?
We have an angels and inspiration category where there are several people. Desiree Zasbol writes about angels. She always gives us an archangel to focus on each month. And various columns come in from different of the different ones of the columnists who write a little something about angels. And so you can learn a whole lot about angels. We have Tina McNaughton, who writes about elemental explorations. And this teaches us working with the fairy realm and the elemental realm. And so that's always an interesting column, too. You know, so...
Well, obviously somebody is very upset you're not mentioning them. So I imagine that there's also an animal column, too.
There is. Coriel Kramer is our animal communicator. She communicates with animals that, you know, our readers are able to write into her with a picture of their fur babies. And she's mm-hmm. able to give a beautiful communicative message from that particular pet that's to the world, that's for everyone. And then she always will pick up a wild animal that she chooses, or I should say they choose her, to come in with messages for the world. And so that's an incredible, incredible column. And then we have Deborah Sears, who is a animal Reiki healer.
Now, how does that work? I know that, for instance, Coriel does Bach flower essences, but how do you do Reiki on an animal?
Well, it would be no different, really, if you consider utilizing Reiki for an individual. And a lot of the Reiki practitioners are capable of doing distance healing. And Debbie, of course, does both. She will visit an animal in person, or she will do a distant healing. And it's no different than sending that same healing energy and communicating with that animal's higher self to, you know, to get permission to render any type of healing if they're willing to accept it. You know, so it's mm-hmm. no different than you would be doing healing for a human being.
That makes sense. Energy is energy. And of course, the Oswald the Great is coming saying, you're talking about doing nice things for animals. Can I have a part of this?
And we also have a paranormal section, which is really interesting. We get the opportunity to hear from Angie Kruger, who is out of the UK, who shares her personal experiences with dealing with those on the other side, and wonderful storyteller. She just, you know, the experiences are just remarkable. And then we have a couple of paranormal investigators that share and talk about their experiences and oftentimes give instruction or guidance.
Now, how do you differentiate between paranormal and metaphysics? Because those are two buzzwords that people throw around, and 90% of the time they don't know what they're talking about.
Well,
literally,
you know,
they have no idea the definition.
That's true. Well, you know, here's my definition of metaphysics. It is the scientific study of things that you cannot prove scientifically.
Okay, and how does that change differentiate from paranormal?
Well, you know, paranormal, you have to kind of ask yourself. Para means, you know, not normal. And I have a difficult time with dealing with what really is normal. Because to me, what one might call paranormal is absolutely normal to me. It's how I've lived my life, always dealing with spirit on the other side. And so these paranormal investigators most often are functioning on that scientific thought process of trying to find evidentiary means of, you know, capturing a spirit or proof that there is, you know, another realm that we are capable of tapping into.
Now, so do you refer to that as supernatural or supernormal?
I consider it, yeah, I would consider it supernormal in my case, you know, because I've done this since I was a child. I've always been able to see spirit. And even as a young child, I had a difficult time differentiating between what was real and what wasn't, you know, what I could see versus what my family could see, you know, and, mm-hmm. and of course I was deemed a child with an imagination, you know, I was, you know, the imaginary friends and so forth. You know, but did I? Were they really imaginary? Or is it just that they couldn't see them? And because they couldn't see them, did that make me abnormal? Or am I the normal one?
It depends on what your culture is. It depends mm-hmm. on what the surroundings are. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about the new project that we are just about to publish. Why don't you inform people on that one?
Sure. Bella Spree has taken part in creating a 15-month calendar featuring 15 very talented psychics and healers for each month. You know, mm-hmm. we have one psychic per month, and each psychic is featured on their month. And each month carries, of course, your usual calendar information, the new moon, the full moon, you know, the holidays are all documented. But we also have Sherita, who has provided a lexigram message for that month based on where the sun is on the astrological sign. So it's
incredible.
It's incredible. Like an example is I was just working on January 2013's calendar. And she has for us on January 2013, the sun is in Capricorn Aquarius. And it states 2013 rings in as Capricorn asks for our responsibility. So yes, I point to being sensibly possible to rise. In nobility inspires before Aquarius asks us to get intellectual as I entice a neat talent in an attune, all I can lean in.
That's one of the things about lexigramming. Mm-hmm. Don't expect the sentence to have all your verbs, adverbs, etc., etc. It's simply a matter of juggling the energies and looking at the words that come out. You can put them together in context. Now, the other thing
I look at it and my mind fills in the verb. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like in my mind, my own thinking, I'm reading it and going, oh my goodness, you know, this is really telling us to rise to the occasion.
Yes. Yes. That's the wonderful thing about lexigramming. It presents you with the energy, but you can put your own spin on it. You know, it's not what I call the Madam Hoo-ha stuff. On February 17th, I see an icy patch. You're going to fall and break your left
exactly.
ankle. No, it's take the energy and run with it. Now, for our listeners, I am Madam March. None of us did like a calendar girl style pinup, did we?
No.
You asked for headshots. Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God.
But I've come across an idea thanks to our friend John Fortuna. He showed me a sample calendar that somebody had made, and it was so creative that I kind of formatted along that line. And what I had hoped was to be able to find actual images that were large enough of each of the psychics to put as their cover page.
Mm-hmm.
Instead mm-hmm. of, like, I started using, you know, for fall, October, I used, you know, a nice fall scene and then included a picture of Pamela off to the side with Pamela's credentials and her special that she's offering during her month of October of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but yet in December, we have Claire Braddock, And I have a picture that I found of Claire sitting on Santa Claus's lap. And it fit perfectly with the size of the calendar. So that's Claire's December picture. And then I put a nice little professional picture of her in the corner so people can see that she really is serious. But it turned out adorable. Mine, however, I'm having trouble with mine. I just, you know, I don't have any pictures large enough to slap on a full page of a calendar. So I might have to go do some photographing of myself here pretty soon.
What did you do to me in March? I just want to know what I'm going to see there.
The idea, I haven't worked your page yet, but the idea that I have is you sent me an image, and if you've got larger ones, do send on. You sent me an image that I'm in love with, and it was one of you sitting on the floor with your tools in front of you, your tarot.
Yes.
And yeah, and I love that picture. And so what my plan is I want to make that, I'd love to make it the whole scene, but I may take and offset it, run it off to one side of the calendar, and then on the other side do something a little decorative but blends in with the black background of that picture. And then, of course, you'll have your professional shot. I love those shots you sent me. The professional photo of you, preferably I like the one with your arm, you know, your head resting on your arm. That one will go off in the corner, along with, of course, your credentials. I'll have to pare it down a little bit, but I got lots to pick.
All right. Yeah. That's okay. Now, the thing that I want to tell my listeners out there is if you go to the Bella Spree website, you're going to see where you can pre-order the Guardians of Time calendars.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the deal, guys. When you pre-order, you're going to pay by PayPal. And there's a little thing where it has the special instructions. Your job is if you're ordering and you've heard it on this show, you put in there, Corby sent me. Because Belle is going to tell me everybody who does that. And you folks will be entered in a drawing to have a free half an hour phone reading with me. Value about $90. And it's a full reading. This is not like the quickie free readings we do on the air. No. It's going to be with your numerology. I will record the session. I will do everything that I normally do if you were booking a session with me. And you're also going to get the calendar at a discount. So what's to lose?
Right.
You should go.
Right. The regular price will be $19.99. When I get these calendars in my hand, the pre-sale is over.
Right. So go order. It's a 16-month calendar, so you can start it in the fall and go right through. And remember when I say, I'm not special. We can all do what I do. On there are also 15 other really wonderful intuitives. So I would recommend go look. We all have different talents. We can all be of service to you in one form or another.
And most of the psychics have offered coupons, discounts for their month, you know, so it gives you money-saving options every month of the year of that 15 months that we have. Excuse me. And then in addition, Ms. Corby, we are running a little contest so that for the individual who sells the most calendars between now and the 14th of July...
Uh-oh.
The winner will be our cover girl for October magazine.
Now, you see, Belle knows that if you're a good intuitive, you probably also do have an ego. And so the idea that, oh, I can be on the cover of a magazine, we're all very excited. So it'll be like Girl Scout cookies, you know. But
yes.
Whatever we do with it, you order it. Everybody needs a calendar. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be lots of other yummy information in there. Now, where are people going to go to find Bella Spree magazine? Is it only online? Is there any kind of a downloadable? Give them the idea of how that works.
Sure. The Bella Spree magazine is always and will always be a free online magazine. And all you do is go to the website, bellaspree.com. And that's spelled B-E-L-L-E-S-P-R-I-T. It's like spelling spirit, except you drop the first I. So it's bellaspree.com. And on the right side, you'll always see our current issue. You click on that, and it'll open up in a magazine spread. You click the bottom right-hand corner, the pages turn for you, and it looks and feels just like a real magazine. We do have a downloadable version of the magazine for just $1.99. And that way you can download the magazine, keep it forever, read it at your leisure. And so we have that option. And, of course, also right there on the home page, on the right side, you'll see where you can click on the pre-order of the calendar right from the bellesfree.com website.
What fun. Listen, Belle, one of these days, would you come on just as your little cute self and guest and do readings for us?
I would love to. Absolutely.
All right. Then you and I, as they say downstate, we'll talk. We'll have coffee.
We'll figure out
a day for you to come on. And because I love showcasing other intuitives. It's great
fun.
And
we do, too. Yes. We always have a ball when we get together, Corby. Our listeners from our radio show just love you.
Thank you.
Your listeners are great fans, and so help Corby win a cover on the magazine. So,
oh, God, a calendar girl at 57. Can I faint now?
Oh, yes.
So, Belle, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for spending some time with us tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. We will talk again soon.
You bet. I'll have my people get a hold of your people, and we'll hook up.
Right. Have your people call my people. Isn't that what they say in Hollywood?
That's it. Have my people call your people.
Wonderful.
Better yet, we'll just talk.
Yes. Yes.
All right, my love. Thank you.
You're welcome. Be well.
You too, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. As you can tell, I absolutely love Belle. Writing for Belle Esprit is great fun. If you haven't gone and seen it, do it. Don't plan to read it all at one sitting. There's just way too much. But page through it. See what articles interest you. It's a brilliant, wonderful resource. What I want to go back to before we close up tonight, one more thing about spirit guides. I was asked by a woman, Karen, do spirit guides ever abandon us? She said, a psychic at a psychic fair recently told me that my spirit guides were not present because they were confused as to how they could help me, and thus I had been abandoned, quote unquote, until they can figure out how to guide me. I found this rather odd, as my own beliefs, as well as the many books I've read, including Your Soul's Plan, reinforce that the spirit guide or guides are always present. In her reading, I felt that this psychic provided a great deal of accurate information about me without asking any questions. I found her observation odd. Can you shed light on the presence of spirit guides? Karen, spirit guides are one of the most blessed and important parts of our incarnational toolbox. In my understanding, gained from almost 40 years of metaphysical work, and also from talking to other metaphysicians that I honor and trust, Stacy Wells, Eagle Skyfire, Crystal Wind, we all agree on one thing. Your guides are always there. They are never AWOL. This is not to say that they will continually have answers for you. Sometimes, because they know that growth in spiritual understanding is the number one goal for any incarnation, they'll sit things out, not give us any particular guidance. Why? Sometimes the most valuable part of a life lesson is figuring out how to get the answer we seek, even more than the answer itself. However, they are always there on the sidelines, loving us, cheering us on, and giving us strength and courage. The trick is to know the difference between guidance and using them as crutches. And there are times when all of us depend on them more than is good for us. Note Corby's little white wing raised here. I haven't been exempt from that particular lesson myself. That's when our guides go silent, waiting for us to access our own inner knowing, because they know we have our own answers in there. Just needs a little bit of digging out to unearth them. So my own take on this incident is not that your guides could not figure out how to guide you. Rather, they saw several different and valid paths that you could take at that particular point. And rather than limit your choices, they wanted you to move forward to discover what was most important to you at this time. Abandonment and confusion are limiting human concepts. And spirit guides, whether they're angels or ETs or discarnates or energy beings or any other entity that might want to be part of your upstairs team, they're anything but human or limited. Even those discarnate but once incarnate human souls who guide us, like Carl Amel for me, my father, they have a larger viewpoint once the body is shed. So, with respect, I'm going to disagree about the conclusion of your psychic for a psychic. I think she was correct in that your guides may not have had answers for you at that time, and she was therefore not receiving anything from them for you, but their celestial seats were filled as always. The upstairs phone line was still connected. And they were still, as they always will be, sending you courage and strength and resilience and humor to walk your path with joy and an open mind, hands and heart, to grasp your life lessons and take all you can from them. You are never alone. So we're winding down for this open mic night. It's been a little back and forth here and there. Thank you so much for being so kind. Nobody, you know, sending me nasty things on Facebook saying, hey, didn't you get any sleep? Because no, I didn't. But especially thank you to Belle Salisbury, a fellow intuitive and just delightful woman, for coming in and talking to me a little bit about Belle Esprit magazine and what's going on so that you can join in the fun. Remember that our new way of doing things is once a month we're going to be doing open mic night, and once a month we're going to be doing the past life party. The past life party is usually on our third Thursday. So be sure to let me know what we can do to answer your questions. You can either call. If you don't feel like calling, oh, I can't talk on the radio, I'd be too nervous, send me an email, revcorby@gmail.com. Drop me a message on Facebook. You can find me at Corby Mitlide, or you can find me at two of my fan pages, Fire Through Spirit or White Raven Webinars. Let us also know what you'd like to see on the show. Do you want more intuitive guests so that you can ask different people questions? Do you want people to talk to you about things like paranormal investigation, feng shui, dream analysis? Whatever you would like, we will bring it on, because this show, again, it's not for me to pontificate. It's what can we bring you that's delicious? What can we bring you to make sure that you understand a little bit more about the world around you? So that's where we're going. Remember, you can always call us at 248-809-3475. That's 248-809-3475. That is our call-in number. We should have a guest next week, and then we're back to the past life party on the third Thursday in July. So start getting that together, figuring out what's my obsession, what's my excitement, what do I need to know, and we will explore it for you. So until next week, this is Corby Mitlide.